If you will take your Bibles, we'll jump into it here, Matthew chapter 10. And we're continuing in this series here of the apostles. And each one of them that we're studying has greatly encouraged me, but also convicted me, and about how they tremendously, they did great, great things for God. But what really helps me is that they come back to, is that they were just normal individuals like all of us. And I'm so thankful that God uses people, and he uses people with all of their flaws and inconsistencies and everything else. And praise God for that. I'm grateful for that especially. Matthew chapter 10, if you will. Now again, this is another list of the apostles. We've been reading out of the book of Luke in our series here, but I just wanted to shift gears a little bit. Notice, if you will, verse 1. He says, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Okay, so now back in our notes here, just continuing, I've already given a definition of what a apostle is. He's basically a delegate, an ambassador of the gospel, a commissioner of Christ. He's a messenger, one that's sent. Again, I mentioned this, but just to reiterate, the apostles were ordinary men. They were subject to like passages we are, the Bible says, and they did have faults and weaknesses, often failed, but as we study their lives, their failures begin to pale in light of the great accomplishments. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many of you failed already this week? Okay. Amen and amen. Fail, and you're going, Lord, I've got to get this right at some point, right? I got to figure out how to keep my mouth shut, but working through that. Millions of souls have been saved, and these were the pioneers of the great, what we call worldwide outreach of the gospel. These apostles were the pillars. They were the ground, a lot of them, for what we have today. Now, if you study back and look at this, it's very interesting to study. If you can do somewhat of a genealogy, it's a little bit hazy because of such a lack of keeping historical records, but you can literally trace the church all the way back to one of these apostles, okay? And I'm grateful that they were faithful because of we wouldn't be here today without them. And you can go back and back and back, and I can't wait till we get to heaven. I say that all the time because we're going to get to sit down and study some of this stuff. I really believe it. We're going to get back, okay, granddad and great-granddad and great-great-dad, and go all the way back, and we're going to find our link all the way back to some church that an apostle started in some place. So I'm excited about that. But anyways, now we've studied several of these already. We studied Simon Peter, Andrew, James, the brother of John, Philip and John. And tonight we're going to look at Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zealots, and Nathanael, and is another name he goes by that we just read was Bartholomew. And so anyways, let's look at Matthew. Matthew is an interesting character. But first of all, he was also known as Levi. And so, again, just to reiterate, many of these apostles had two names or kind of nicknames or whatever you want to call it. But some of them had a Jewish name, some had a Greek name or a Gentile name that they were given. And so don't get confused by that. And I know you know this already, but he was also known by Levi. He refers to himself as Matthew. Matthew 9 and verse 9, notice, and Jesus passed forth from thence. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me, and he arose and followed him. Mark and Luke call him Levi. The name Matthew means gift of God. The name Levi means joined or joined together. It may refer to the tribe to which he belonged. Now, what we know is that the Bible says he was the son of Alphaeus. We'll look at that in just a minute, that he could possibly be the brother of a Simon. But Mark 2:14, and he passed by, saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, said unto him, follow me, and he rose and followed him. Now, this is interesting here. Let her see that he was a publican. In Luke 5:27, it describes him as the publican. Matthew, the publican. Now, notice what a publican is. A publican was a tax collector. He's a tax collector. Now, tax collector for the Roman government. Now, this position, you could say today he was an IRS agent. Okay, so I don't know. This position was sold to the highest bidder. Now, whatever they collected beyond what was required by the government was put into their own pocket. The system they used allowed for dishonesty. As a result, the publicans were very wealthy men. They became rich with the money stolen from their own countrymen. They were hated by many. They were classified with the heathen and with harlots. Now remember, Jesus talks about, he says, he groups them together there in Matthew 18, Matthew 21. He says, the publicans, the heathens, the harlots. Now, how'd you like to be grouped with that? That's how much they hated these people. And Matthew was a Jew that was working for the Roman government. So the Jews hated him, one, but the Romans hated him for being a Jew. He was stuck in the middle. And he was a publican. He was one that nobody liked. And when Jesus passed by, he said, I'll follow you, Lord. Now notice their testimony was unacceptable in court. You in a court of law, they would say a publican's not even welcome. He can't even give his word here. Nobody believed him. They were not allowed to enter the synagogue to worship. Now, go with me to Luke 18 in verse 9. I want you to see this. Remember, this is the story Jesus told about those two that went up into the temple to pray. Luke 18 and verse 9, if you have, yeah, you have that. Thank you. And notice he says, and he spake this parable, and certain which trusted in themselves, they were righteous and despised others. And two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. Points to the poor guy, you know. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off would not lift so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalts himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So we find a definition kind of what a publican is, and he was the one that stood afar off. The reason being, they weren't allowed into the temple. You're a Jew, yeah, but we don't like you. You're an extortioner. You're a cheat. You take our money. This is the person. Now, notice letter D, though. I like this. He immediately followed when the Lord invited him. Now, I don't know if he hated his job that much and he said, yeah, I'm out of here. Or he said, well, I don't know. But there was not a hesitation to get up and follow the Lord. His tax booth was at Capernaum. He undoubtedly knew about Jesus, and many have heard him preach. Now, the Lord gave a Sermon on the Mount near this area, just to remind us of that. Near Capernaum, that's exactly where Matthew would have been working. And he probably, no doubt, went out to hear Jesus speak and talk in that great Sermon on the Mount. We have no idea for sure, but probably no doubt he'd been working in Matthew's heart for many, many months. Letter E under that, he made a great feast in his own house. Go to Luke 5 and verse 29. Luke 5, 29, he made a great feast. I like this because he reached his friends first. He wasn't ashamed of it. Levi noticed, and Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering and said to them, they that are holding not a physician, but they that are sick. Now that's a common, it's a no-brainer. Jesus could have been very harsh with these people, but he was very gracious. But he said, why would I go to a bunch of righteous people? I'm here to what? Seek and to save that which was lost. And he makes reference to that and says, now listen, I'm here because they're sinners. They need me. Okay, I'm not going to go. Why would a physician go to a bunch of healthy people? The reason for a doctor is that he deals with the unhealthy, right? So he made a great feast in his house. We know he wrote the Gospel of Matthew, and his Gospel, just a reminder, we've studied this already, but he focuses on Jesus as King of the Jews. That's what the Gospel of Matthew is. Again, all the four Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, they give a different viewpoint of the life and ministry of Jesus. People say, well, that's a clear indication that the Bible is not accurate because none of the four Gospels agree on a bunch of things. No, in fact, it's the opposite. It's showing that it is true because they're all giving a different point of view. They're all giving a different eyewitness account. But he emphasizes Jesus as King of the Jews. Now, why is that? I believe personally because he worked for the king, Caesar. Matthew worked for the king. He understood government. He understood politics. He understood how everything worked, dealing with the tax system and everything else. And he probably had every person waiting in line. Remember, Mary and Joseph had to go back to be taxed. And they stood in long lines for many hours, many days, in fact, and they'd have to come up and stand and meet with this guy, give him their income, prove your income, show us how much you made last year, etc. And he would get screamed and yelled at every day. They hated this person. You're stealing our money, all of these things. So I truly believe that he emphasizes Jesus as king. Maybe that's one of the reasons. Okay, now let's look at this. We know according to history that he was martyred. According to Fox's Book of Martyrs, notice it says the scene of his labors was Parthia and Ethiopia, in which latter country he suffered martyrdom, being slain with a halberd in the city of Nadaba, AD 60. Now, a halberd, I looked this up, it's that really weird medieval-looking thing, long handle with a big axe on one side, and on the other side, like a pick, a sharp pick, and then a pointy thing sticking up. Remember, the real weird-looking thing that the executioner would use. Anyways, just reminding us that every one of these apostles died a pretty horrific death. And so we don't know exactly how he died, but just give a little bit of it. Now, let's take a few things away from the life of Matthew real quick here. Number one, I put this, find your identity in Christ. Matthew didn't know what he was. He was a Jew, but the Jews hated him. He worked for the Romans, but the Romans hated him. He was stuck in the middle. And so I put, find your identity in Christ. It doesn't matter where you came from, doesn't matter what color your skin is, doesn't matter what language, doesn't matter how rich or how poor, your identity is in Christ. Number two, weigh the cost of following Christ. Again, he was very good at numbers. Okay, Matthew knew numbers. He weighed the cost and said, okay, I'm going to waste my life here or I can follow Christ. Matthew, thirdly, started by reaching his closest friends. Closest people. The hardest people to reach in our lives are the people closest to us. I mean, family, friends. Why? Because they know us. They know what we're like. They know how we are. It's the hardest thing. And Matthew said to the guy, let's just hold a big feast at my house. By the way, if you're going to reach some people, it may have to involve food, okay? Just get some food out, especially Baptist boy, we like food. Just get some food. He had a good way of reaching people, very hospitable, and brought them all together. And obviously there were critics and naysayers that showed up. And then fourthly, I put this one, serve the right king. Serve the right king. Flip it over. Serve the right king. Christ over Caesar. This is exactly what Matthew did. Okay. He said, I've worked for Caesar. I've worked for the king. I'm going to emphasize Jesus as king and follow him and him alone. Matthew, an incredible character, incredible apostle. Okay. Look, notice the second one. I want to look at tonight is James, the son of Alphaeus. Now, apart from his name, his father's name, and his mother's name, Mary, nothing else is really recorded about him. By the way, there's three or four of these apostles that we don't know anything about. But Matthew 10:3 states that Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, we already read that. Mark 15:40 says there were also women looking afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the Less and Joseph and Salome. So it is possible that he and Matthew were brothers, but not certain, since they are both referred to as the son of Alphaeus. Now, again, just he was martyred. We know that. Fox's Book of Martyrs covers this. It says at the age of 94, he was beat and stoned by the Jews and finally had his brains dashed out with a fuller's club. A little harsh way to put it, but I mean, you just pray to God that the first blow kind of knocked him out, you know. And I'm not trying to make that silly, but truly these men did serve Christ. Okay, just a few things from this very brief biography of James. We don't have much of him, but number one, although relatively unknown, he served faithfully, didn't he? And so many unknown people in the Bible. There are thousands of people that are never named throughout Scripture, but also throughout history, never named. And there are a lot of people that are named. And the people that are named would probably be rather not named, right? You know, like Moses. Moses said, I don't want none of the limelight. I just want to be in the background. But you think about it, he served faithfully even though he wasn't named. Unknown. Number two, he never retired from serving Christ. 94 years old. And let the guy die a natural death. He's 94. You got to take him out and beat him to death. You know, that's the evil and wicked people that were there and still are around today. But think about that. Never retired from serving the Lord. People say, well, I can't do much for the Lord anymore. No, you can. You can do a lot for the Lord. And I thank God for the people in our church that do serve faithfully. In fact, I had a dear lady on Sunday ask me that. She came up after the sermon and said, Brother Tim, is there something I can do, something I can be involved with? I can't do much. I don't have much this and that, but I want to do something. And I said, praise the Lord. Yes. Yes. We'll find something. Okay. Thank God for that. Okay. Let's look at thirdly, Simon. Now, apart from his name and one other word, we find that there's no further information about this man either. Now, the word zealots and Canaanite really mean the same thing. They speak of an ardent zeal, a flaming, unselfish devotion to a worthy cause. The group called the Zealots was for Jewish political independence. Okay, again, there is still a group, there's always been a group like this, but there's a group even today that believe in the purity of the country, and they fight for independence. Now, the problem is that they can't fight because they don't have anything to fight with. Okay. And we've seen this past week, really, when with the whole peace treaty over there and everything that's been taking place, and thank God that they got their captives back, they got their people freed and all of that. But we know that's not going to last long. Okay, these enemies of Israel, they give these promises out, but they don't mean any of it, because they're just going to start it all back over again. And we've seen that throughout history. Well, these individuals, they were called the Zealots, were a group of people that believed in that. We're going to fight for our independence. And there's some places throughout history you can study for yourself. They tried to put up a fight. And especially in the following centuries after Jesus ascended, they put up a fight, but were quickly defeated because they just have not a big group and whatever the case is. But we believe that's where he got his name from. He was crucified. We know that. Again, he preached the gospel in Mauritania, Africa, and even in Britain. Amazing. So he was down in Africa and went all the way up into Britain. I mean, he was all over the place. In which latter country he was crucified in AD 74. Again, he would have been a little bit of an older fella by AD 74, and they crucified him anyways. Just a few things of application from the life of Simon. What did he do? Well, he transferred his zeal for country to zeal for Christ. If he was truly a zealot, he was had great zeal in his life, he transferred that and said, I'm going to serve Christ with that. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And I think about that often. I have such a zeal and passion for things, but not for Christ. And if it comes to my favorite hobby, my favorite thing, my favorite, if it makes money, if it's, oh, I like doing that, man, I get all excited about it. But when it comes to serving Christ, I get real, well, that can wait, that can handle. Can I encourage you with that? Take your zeal for Christ seriously. Number two, he chose to serve Christ over politics. He was very political. He fought for the right. He fought for the people. He fought for their independence. And you just, if you're in our Bible reading schedule, we just read through Jeremiah 52, the last chapter of Jeremiah. And it talks about the complete obliteration. Babylon came in and took and killed most of the people, took captive the others. It says they knocked down all of the walls, burned Solomon's temple, house, temple, porch, all of it. Ignited all, took all, stole everything. Just a horrific chapter. But for the preceding 50 whatever the chapters prior to that, he was warning them about that, wasn't he? Jeremiah said, listen, it's going to happen. And it happened. And it happened, sure enough. But you think about that, they're still fighting today over certain things, political things, when they need to understand and realize their real need is Jesus Christ. And I thank God for so many over in that area that are still trying to reach the Jews for Christ. Okay, anyways. And then notice here, I like Nathanael. Nathanael, also known as Bartholomew. The name Bartholomew appears only four times in Scripture. Matthew, Mark, Luke, they use this name. John uses the name Nathanael and mentions him six times. Both names belong to the same man is probably apparent. We pretty much put those together. John never mentions Bartholomew. Bartholomew means son of Ptolemy. Nathanael means gift of God. Now, interesting, go to John 21 with me real quick here. Notice he was of the city of Cana. Now, if you remember Cana, that was the setting for Jesus' very first miracle. And he points out to us here, obviously there was something there, an impact was made. Now, in a small town like Cana, very small, everybody would have been invited to a wedding. I mean, everybody. If there was 100 people, there's probably maybe 100, 150 people maybe in the area. They would have been invited to a wedding like this. They were together, Simon, Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. So just clarifying, this little setting here in John chapter number 2 of the wedding there, and Jesus did his great miracle, you know that. His mother comes to him, says, Lord, they ran out of wine. Can you do something about it? He said, my time's not yet come. And they said, Mary says, well, she turns to the disciples or the servants and says, well, whatever he says to you to do, do it. I like that testimony. That's a good message right there. Whatever he says, do it. They looked at her like, who are you? You know, don't tell us what to do. But sure enough, they found out real quick who he was. And you know, if we just do what he says to do, amen. But he must have had and seen what happened there and had a great impact on him. Now, again, he may have been a fisherman, as were many of the disciples, and no mention is made of his family, really. Now, go over to John chapter 1 with me real quick, and notice this. He believed on the Lord as soon as he met him. As soon as he met him. This is an interesting dialogue between him and Jesus that takes place. John 1, verse 45, pick up there. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now that messed Nathanael up when he said, Jesus of Nazareth. Wait, hey, whoa, what? Wait. No, you mean Jesus of Bethlehem, right? That's where he came from. And he says, and Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, well, come and see. Come and see. Now, again, Nathanael's not being derogatory or mean or prejudiced. What he's saying is, can that good thing come out of Nazareth? No, he's supposed to come out of Bethlehem. Can anything good come out of the hill country? I mean, it'd be like, can anything come out of Edgewood? I mean, amen. Yes, it can. That's the hill country, the countryside. And he says, yeah, come and see. I like. Now, remember, we studied Philip already. Philip was a go-getter, man. He was a soul winner. And Philip talked to people all the time. He could just strike up conversation and talk. Okay. And he said, okay, come and see. I'm not going to stand here, Nathanael, explain to you for 10 minutes, even an hour. Just come and see who he is. I like that. Bring him to Jesus. So Philip brought him to the Lord. And then notice the Lord commended him on having no guile. Okay, notice verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. Said of him, behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael says unto him, whence knowest thou me? How do you know me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi or master, teacher, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, thou believest, or believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. He says, because I said that, you believe? So we find here that he commended him. Now notice this with the word guile. The guile means that he had no craft, deceit, subtlety, or duplicity. Remember what James said. James says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Think, well, I'm just double-minded over here. No, it bleeds over into every area of our lives, right? I'll be nice on Monday, but Tuesday, if you take my stuff, sister, right, brother, I'm going to be mad. Or double-minded. No. We're consistent. We're centered. We're focused. Okay, so John, as we just read this, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Now, David described this man again in Psalm 15, verse 1 through 5. This man that has no guile, that is no deceit in him, God is looking for those kinds of people to use. He's looking for that person that he can use, a girl, a young person, a teenager, an elderly person. One that is honest and has integrity. Now, Nathanael then immediately confessed that Jesus was the Son of God. Thou art the Son, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Well, why would you call me that, Nathanael? It shows that Nathanael was looking for the King. He was looking for the truth. And you'd be surprised at the people out there that are actually looking for the truth. They're looking for something they can believe in. They're looking for someone they can believe in. And we say, well, no, we can't approach them, you know. They'll never listen to us. No, you don't know that. Nathanael was actually looking. He says, I've been looking for this. Philip backs up. Notice, says, this is the one we've been looking for. We have found, verse 45, him of whom Moses in the law and prophets did write. We found him. Now, some commentators believe that they had been studying Philip, Nathanael, probably been looking for the truth, obviously. The Jews always were studying scripture constantly, but they said, we found him. Number four, then the Lord commended him again. He says, thou shalt see greater things than these. Notice verse 51, he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, the angels of God ascending, descending upon the Son of Man. Jesus is saying, you're going to see some great things done. But first you had to come to me. First you have to believe. And Nathanael says, I believe. And because you did, you're going to see more things. I really believe that some people never come to the Lord. They get saved, but they don't do anything else. They don't do anything else. And they never get to see the Lord work in great ways. Okay, now notice he was also crucified for preaching the gospel. According to Fox's, Bartholomew preached in several countries, and having translated the gospel of Matthew into the language of India, interesting, he propagated it in that country. He was at length cruelly beaten and then crucified by the impatient idolaters. Now, today, India is in a really, if you study it or look it up, it's a mess. I mean, they are so steeped and stooped in paganism and idolatry. But some great revivals have come out of India over the history, over the centuries. Great revivals. Burma and other areas down in there, you know that. Many of our great missionaries went down there and spent their life there. Adoniram Judson and others that went down into that area and preached the gospel. Well, it all started here with Nathanael. Nathanael went down. If you study this, it's interesting. There in Jerusalem, you remember, Jesus says, I want you to disperse out. Well, they didn't do that, did they? In Acts 1:8, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. They stayed there until Acts chapter 8. And Acts 8 and verse 1, they finally get persecuted. And again, Paul or Saul was at the time persecuting the church. And then they dispersed because of persecution and heartache and all these things that are happening. And I said before, but that's what happens with Christians. We know that when we're persecuted, it's not that we go and cower and hide in the corner. We actually are emboldened. We get real bold all of a sudden. Whereas when we have everything going pretty good, we kind of get relaxed and lazy. But you study this, you see it that you have these apostles, they're going everywhere. When we think about it, Nathanael goes down into India. We're going to study a couple more, Lord willing, next week. But they go over into Ethiopia. They go into Africa. They go back down into Egypt, where they came up out of. They go all the way up. And we know this, Paul, Silas, and then Barnabas as well. They go up north, and then they start heading over and get into Europe. And the Byzantine area, where we literally get our Bible from, and those translations that would follow out of that. But they disperse all over the world. And so when Jesus said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel, they took it seriously. And the following, now, I heard this the other day, but he says, lo, I'm with you always. We want the lo, I'm with you always, but we don't do the go. You know, we only get the lo, I'm with you always, when we go. We don't stay where we are. So anyways, we think about these apostles. They went all over the known world. Okay, a few application points here from Nathanael. One, question but verify. Nathanael had a question. He said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip says, well, come and see. I've already asked these questions, man. I've been sitting listening. This guy's phenomenal. He's got to be the Christ. He's got to be the Messiah. So it's okay to question, but verify it. If Nathanael would have never come and seen Jesus, like a lot of Christians today, they believe in Jesus, or they say they do. They never follow Jesus. They never verify it. And they miss out on so much, and they live a miserable Christian life because they never get to see Jesus at work. They're never faithful to church. They never read their Bible. They never go out and share the gospel. They never exercise their faith. How many people are like that today? So question. You got a question? By the way, Jesus said this in the Old Testament. The Lord said, he says what? Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. God says, you got a question? Let's reason together. Don't hide in the corner and be bashful. Come on. We think, oh, the Lord, I don't know if he'll answer my question. I don't want to sound stupid. You know, I don't want to sound... No, he wants you to ask questions. Notice Jesus never rebuked him. I said on Sunday with Elijah, instead of a rebuking sermon, he gave him rest. And God knows our hearts. God knows we're weary. God knows we're torn. Man, we're tired. You know, just through everything that we're dealing with. And work and finances and marriage and kids, it's all weighing on us all the time. God knows that. Come to him and ask him, Lord, help me. What can I do? Is there something? Now, if there's a theological question or something, come to the Lord. Ask him. God's put spiritual people maybe in your life that could help you and guide you along the way with something like that. But verify it. And by the way, we have a Bible tonight. I won't hit on that too long, but we have a Bible that we can... I must keep going. Okay, number two. Christ is looking for those with no guile. Those that are not crafty, not deceitful, not subtle, There's no duplicity in them. They're faithful, and they're what you see is what you get, okay? And he's looking for those people. God will not use somebody who is crafty, deceitful, or subtle. He's looking for people with integrity and honesty. Number three, then notice, be quick to confess Christ. He was quick. I like this. Quick to confess Christ, not to follow Christ, to confess him. Matthew was quick to follow Christ. It says he got up, dropped his quill, left his leather papyri there, or whatever it was that he had, and he got up and he walked away. Hey, you can't leave. You still got a lot of work to do. Watch me, right? There's an old country song. Take this. No, I won't sing it. And take her. And you feel that way sometimes. Don't you wish Jesus would just come by sometimes? Lord, I'm ready to follow you. Get me out of this place, you know. And he's got to quick. But Nathanael was quick to confess Christ. See? And he said, I believe you're the Christ. I believe it. Oh, I believe it. Jesus said, because I said that, you believe? Wow, okay, Nathanael. You're going to see a lot more than that. Are you looking for Jesus to answer your prayers? Are you looking for him to prove himself true in your life? Are you waiting on that stuff? Do you believe it's just something that helps people feel better and get better? No, it's much more than that, a relationship with the Lord. And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I say that all the time. You that love the Lord and serve him faithfully and exercise your faith. But really, I mean, are you looking for Jesus to speak, to answer, to move, to prove himself faithful? Be quick to confess the Lord, to confess him. Now, again, I don't know, maybe one of these characters, these apostles, were somebody you can identify with. But in some way, maybe a part of their character or a little part of their personality you might be able to identify with. And I hope you can. Matthew was one that didn't know who he was. I mean, he was stuck between a rock and a hard place. But he found his identity in Christ. He finally found it. Said, this is what I'm supposed to do. And thinking through this, it's fascinating to me. I always wondered this. I wondered why the money bag wasn't given to Matthew. You ever wonder that? Why didn't Matthew handle the money? He knew money. He knew numbers. It was given to Judas. You know, we're going to look at him next week. Judas Iscariot. And there's two Judases. And the one other Judas, poor guy, man, it's always got to, but I like the Bible because it always clarifies. Judas, the one that betrayed him. Okay, thank God for that. I've been called a lot of different names as well. Okay, but he was one that was there and that said, I'm going to serve faithfully. I don't know who I am. I found my identity in Christ. I realize who I am. I'm going to spread it to my friends and family. I'm going to invite them over to have a little feast together and show them who it is I'm going to serve the right king. And then we see James and Simon and Nathanael. Whatever it is, I don't know how it is for you, but each one of these men, some unknown, some of them never got any kind of extra except for their name mentioned. And we sing an old song. We haven't sung it in a while, but I've got a new name written down in glory. Don't matter who I am, as long as my name is written up there. And sometimes just their name was written down in Scripture, but that's it. But we do know this, that 12 of them were faithful. One of them failed. Later, we know in the book of Acts, they'd call another man to take his place. But they were faithful, and they served, and they did what they were supposed to do. A man in the book of Acts by the name of Stephen, he preached one message, one, a lengthy message, and they killed him, just one message. But he got a little bit more playtime or limelight than maybe James the less, or Simon or Nathanael. So you never know what God's role is for you, as long as you're faithful, serving God. And I hope that's your prayer, and I know it is. But maybe identify with one of these fellas and look at it. I would like to do a study, and I hope to do this maybe at some point, a study on the great women of the Bible. Wouldn't that be good? And God did a great work with a lot of women. I was reading through this in, again, the book of Acts, but Paul went down, and they came to Philippi, and there was a group of women meeting down by the river, praying. And they didn't know what to do, really. They didn't have a leader there to help them or a pastor to guide them. They just got together and prayed. Where were the men at, right? Where were the men? Absent. Nowhere to be found. No spiritual men around. The women got together. And out of that came Lydia. And Lydia did a great work there. And there was a great work done at Philippi. But anyways. Remember these on our prayer list, if you will, please. And thank you for coming out. It's already getting dark, ain't it, man? Fall season. Appreciate your prayers. And we look forward to Sunday. Lord willing, we'll have Brother Tar with us. He'll be preaching to us, and we'll have a good time then. If you need anything between now and then, please let me know. Okay, Lord, thank you for this evening and for, again, the opportunity to just take some time to look at these men and study their lives. Not much is mentioned about them, but the key points, really, of their lives are mentioned. And we don't remember maybe everything that we do, and our lives aren't a great story to be told, but may it be said of us that we were faithful and we served. And God, I thank you that our names are written in the book of life. I pray you'd help us now this week and guide us and direct us. Be with these on this prayer list. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.